Welcome, all you artists and art lovers out there. Today, you're listening to Artsville USA's podcast, straight from Asheville, North Carolina. I'm your host, Louise Glickman, and I'm inviting you to hear from two special friends and colleagues today, Amy Patansu and Brian Wurst. Together, they're going to talk to you about Haywood Community College's Professional Crafts Program in nearby Waynesville. And I am really excited about this because for those of you who are artists and want additional training in any of the four craft programs that they offer, listen up. So we'll be right back after our intro from our arterial friend and colleague, Dan Ubik at Blue Danube Productions and the Conduit Music Podcast.
Artsville, Artsville, the happening town where art abounds. Artsville, Artsville, from Asheville town where art abounds. Artsville, Artsville, feeling mountain high and inspired in North Carolina. That's where you'll find us, amazing artists and designers. Oh yeah.
So I'm back, Louise Glickman, your podcast host at Artsville USA, where we celebrate American contemporary arts and crafts from Asheville, North Carolina, and beyond. Our monthly podcasts introduce you to world-class movers and makers like our guests today. Today, we're going to primarily talk about craft and their very unique careers. But there's more artists, more crafts makers at artsvilleusa.com, our website. And you can hear this podcast there or most major podcast channels. So before we get into our interview, I'd like to give you some great news, a little update about Artsville's growth and new opportunities for 2024 and after. So you already know that Artsville serves artists in Western North Carolina, where we're especially known for our world-renowned arts, but in particular, craft. Our craft talent here in the Blue Ridge Mountains is known all over the world, and you're going to hear lots more about that today. So if you like what you hear, or you think you would like to buy from any of the artists at Haywood Community College or our virtual gallery of artists online, here's what you do. You go to the virtual gallery of artists on our website. You get 15 different artists right now. More will be coming in the fall. We take you direct to their website with no commissions. You will deal directly with the artists. But moreover, we have started a new program this year so that you can actually visit us here in Asheville and the region. How big is that region, you might ask? It is the same size as the state of Maryland. It is 23 counties full of artists. You tell us what you like to see, and we will bring you there in our partnership with Sherry Masters at Art Connections. You can go direct to her at Art Connections, or you can go through artsvilleusa.com. One of the places we might take you is Haywood Community College, and it is not so far away, so we are going to get started now, first with Amy Patansu. So I love Amy's work, and one of the favorite pieces in my own collection comes from her. And so I look forward to learning more today about her background. I'm also a textile fanatic, and that is what she teaches at Haywood Community College. She came to it via RISD. She is an educator, an artist, and a fabulous networker. Brian is officially the program manager for the Professional Crafts Program and probably spends most of his time teaching as a wood instructor. But he is also a peer for the other studios and mediums that we will hear about. So if you have an interest in textiles, wood, metals, or ceramics, and want to learn more, we invite you to listen on. Brian shows at the Folk Art Center here on the Blue Ridge Parkway, and over the years has shown with Grovewood Gallery, one of our favorite galleries in Asheville. So, let's get started. I'm going to start with you, Amy, because I have visited now 3 times to your class in your studio, and I have been absolutely exhilarated by the talents and the professional artists that come out of Haywood Community College's Professional Craft Program. Whenever I've visited there, I have been really wide-eyed, not only in looking at the artists and their process and how they work, but at the beautiful, fully equipped studios. They are absolutely amazing. It's made me want to go back to art school, to tell you the truth. So can you give us a description of what this program offers?
Sure. Thanks, Louise. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
We love having you. I've been so excited about talking the two of you together.
So what we do at Haywood in the Professional Crafts Program is pretty unique, nationally speaking, maybe even more broadly. It's a 2-year program in 4 media areas, as you mentioned, and it's extremely immersive. For example, our studio courses are 7 or 8 credits each. And what that translates to is anywhere from 15 to 17 required hours in the studio per week for students. So it's very serious. Students at Haywood are learning fine craftsmanship skills, design skills, history in their chosen media area. And then what really sets our program apart is in the 2nd year, we bring on the professional practices such as marketing, business plan writing, entrepreneurship skills geared specifically for the craftsperson.
Well, that is a particular interest to Artsville, and I'd like to first get to know more about the program, but we definitely want to talk about this component, this marketing and business side, because we have learned from the over 150 artists that we have worked with in the last 4 years that most of them say that is a big hole in their education. So that makes you somewhat unique. Brian, would you agree with that? Are there other reasons you consider yourself unique?
Yeah, I'll echo what she said. Thanks for having us here. And I think Amy said it really well. That's really the best part of our program, that we have those 3 legs, essentially, the how-to that everybody expects when they come here, the design skills that we try to get them to work on, and that entrepreneurship. And part of that's the genesis of what we are. The community college always kind of has that how-to-make-a-living aspect. And that's been a component since day one. We've met any number of people who've come from a 4-year program and then come back to us, and they're kind of wide-eyed at that because they talk to us and like, wow, yeah, we did all this cool stuff in art school, but we didn't have any kind of studio practices. And they all seem very grateful for that. And in talking with our graduates, it's still a bit of a deer in the headlights for anybody who enters the craft world. You go out there and try to make a living, but I think they have all appreciated that.
Well, As someone who has grown up in art studios myself, and I was trained as a fashion designer and then went on to do mixed media, I see some other unique characteristics. One is that you're a community college, and so the cost of going for this program, I think, might be one unique aspect of it. And the other is you're on a beautiful campus with beautiful studios, fully equipped, and in an inspiring location, because Waynesville and Maggie Valley area, which is just like 45 minutes outside of Asheville, is glorious. It really wants you to embrace every aspect of the arts. Brian, how did you come to be a wood crafter?
Well, it's interesting. My journey is, like a lot of our students, kind of non-traditional student. We don't get many. We get a few 18-year-olds, but we got a lot of folks who've done something else. So my first career was an architect here in Asheville. And so for 2 or 3 years, I was sitting behind a desk and computer wearing a tie. And in my early 20s, that's a little confining. So I gave it all up and ran away to the Circus of Craft and actually went through the Haywood program way back in the day. So that's where my formal training was and did that, made a living at it. That's kind of the story of a lot of our students. So I did that for about 8 years and then came on board as a faculty member.
So someone has to apply. Brian, someone has to at least have some basic art education?
Not at all, actually. What's really interesting, we're, being a community college, we are open to all. Sometimes people are like, oh, do I have to have a portfolio and do I have to have all the experience? And not at all. We get people who have a lot of background in their chosen medium. We might have one who's never touched a loom or worked with clay or all that. And we kind of meet them where they are, those ones who have a little bit of background. I always try to push a little bit harder, but we get folks with zero background in the craft world.
So if you apply, you get in, or you juried in? How does that work?
It's pretty much, being, again, community college, it's kind of an open process, and as many spots as we have available for folks, we are happy to have them in there.
So that means I can come.
Definitely.
If I ever retire from Artsville, I can go back to my art.
I don't know. Amy, do you have any spaces for fall?
There might be one spot left for fall.
Oh,
Louise.
I don't think that's going to happen this year. But Amy, tell me a little bit about how this all got started. How has it evolved from its, I don't know how old the program is and how it's changed.
Sure. The program is nearly 50 years old. We basically recognize 1977 as the year that the Professional Crafts Program began. I was just reading an article from the archive, probably published in the Mountaineer newspaper in 1975, and it was an announcement of the Professional Crafts degree program soon to come in the following fall. So there was, of course, an evolution, and the program began with clay, the clay medium, and then shortly thereafter, the other three media areas were added: weaving, woodworking, and jewelry. And it's an individual from Haywood County named Mary Cornwell, who we recognize as largely responsible for forming the program. She was the owner of historic Shelton House, which is now a museum, a historical residence, and a craft museum in Waynesville that's open to the public. But she was in the early to mid-1900s, she was an agricultural extension agent with a really strong interest in craft. So she saw, I think, maybe a gap in education in Haywood County and had a relationship with the college. And, you know, how exactly it all came about, I don't know, but she was a leader in our field. And the article that I read this morning from 1975 announcing the startup of the program is really amazing, because the nature of the program in terms of learning craft, saleable craft, marketing, business skills is exactly as it still is today.
Really? That is interesting. But I imagine on steroids, because you all have had more money today, probably, than when you first started.
But hard to say.
Yes and no. I mean, after all, you are an educational organization in Western North Carolina.
Right. I will say the college, it's amazing facilities and all we have. Many of the things we do are on our shoestrings, and I'm kind of amazed what we can pull off with what we have.
Well, it's fabulous. And when I came to your student, I guess it's your graduation before you go and show at the Southern Highland Crafts Guild, bought a beautiful piece from Alex Johnson, which is one of your textile students. And apparently it is the first big piece she ever sold, and it is prominent in my front hall. And across from it is really my own art gallery. So come see, come see how it's a prize. And in that room is one of your pieces that I love so much. So
I love that.
Strong and textile teacher and student. So what does curriculum look like? I mean, for example, let's talk about who's coming. All the people who are your students are not from North Carolina, right?
That's absolutely right. In fact, I would say the majority of our students are coming from outside the county, if not outside the state of North Carolina. They are often moving to the area just to study with us.
And then, so if I came to your wood class, for example, what would I do year one? What would I do year two?
They're kind of, I'll do the macro thing very quickly first. There's three types of classes. We have our core studio classes, which are the beating heart of it. We also have some craft support classes, design classes, history classes within each medium. And then being a community college, we have like gen eds. But in the core studio classes, I'm pretty sure it's this with all the media. We kind of start with foundational things, work your way up and work more complex projects. Each media kind of has its own track. So mine works through various individual products that get more and more complex. And I think that's the model for most of them. And so it's fun to see those students from day one almost struggling with some core things, whether, warping a loom. That's one of the first things they do over in Fiber. And at the end of it, they, in theory, got it down really well. And as they just move on to more and more complex things.
And then what about year two? What happens in your program, Amy, in year two?
In year two, and I think this is true across the board for all of our media areas, the tone really shifts to, that's when we become really professional crafts. The focus shifts to production methods, product development, pricing, marketing, writing a marketing plan. And everything gets a lot more serious in year two. This is for individuals who are keen on earning at least a part-time living with their craft, or maybe going on to a four-year school to achieve a bachelor's or a master's in fine art.
Wow, that's very comprehensive and actually unusual. What would you like to add?
I was going to say, as Louis literally is sitting here speaking, because I know because I just left the studios about an hour and a half, those second years are feverishly working because they're ginormous capstone grad show deadline is this coming Wednesday. So.
Ouch. So after the show, you have a relationship with the Southern Highland Craft Guild. And in addition, I think I'd like to talk a little bit about the history of why crafts is so significant here and how your curriculum expresses that, so that whether the student is from this area or from someplace else, they carry with them the history of the mountains. Their work is very contemporary. It is not necessarily traditional, but yet it's grounded in the history of the area. Can you speak to that a minute, Brian?
Sure. The contemporary thing I'm always fascinated by, because we talked about the roots of the program and all these local folks. But I think one of the funny things is when they hired the initial instructors, they got really wonderful instructors from top tier craft schools, MFAs, and that kind of set the flavor towards a little bit more contemporary work. And all of them were there for between 25 and 32 years. But there is this definitely a touching upon local craft. We are in very much an epicenter. I mean, within 2 hours of where we are, our, you know, major craft schools, and we're just one particular, you know, you can take a week class here, you can take 9-month concentrations. There are 4-year schools here, but it's really wonderful to have this kind of 2-year intensive thing. And the local connections that we make, that is part of it. So even the folks aren't always from here. Sometimes the local aspects do kind of find expression in their work, which is nice to see.
Amy, from your perspective, I mean, textiles work is very significant, particularly to economic benefits early on for women. So when people think about the Blue Ridge Mountains or Appalachia, they get this vision of what it was. And it's not like that. We're not talking about tatting or even maybe some knitting or things like that. How do you translate from the historic basis to what I've seen in your studio? Much more, I mean, there is some very traditional work, but all of it seems to have a contemporary influence. I mean, I used to do encaustic art, and I just met a gal when I came to the party, the fundraiser at Haywood Community College, who is putting wax on top of her work.
That's Kelly Reek. She's a recent graduate, and actually the work she's doing, that's a great example of coming from a very historical, traditional place in textiles, even within Appalachia, because her woven structure focus is called overshot. And that was very common in the mountains. And her take on the work is extremely contemporary, where she's doing just brand new, fresh applications to this very traditional textile. I think in this area in particular, there has always been a strong connection between economic development and craft making. And Mary Cornwell saw it in the need to start up a program at Haywood. I think of Penland and Lucy Morgan, and her efforts in the early 1900s were about helping women, and it was about weaving in the beginning, helping women produce woven goods in their homes, which were, you know, remote and isolated, and then finding a way to bring those objects to market to earn some money.
Well, Edith Vanderbilt did it at Grovewood as well. So it is a very strong and fascinating history, and its interpretation here is what is so brilliant and why people come from all over the world to look at crafts, and we want to make sure that that continues. It's a little bit spiritual and it's a lot creative here in the mountains. But you've brought up something important. At the basis, we've been talking about business, economic development, how to build a career. And this is something we do at Artsville with our virtual gallery artists. We work providing both business classes in connection with Craft Your Commerce, which is part of Mountain BizWorks. It's online, so they get to take all these 6 classes with them. But our particular role is showing them how to market, how to write a press release, how to put up an exhibit, how to tell the world you've put up an exhibit. You know the spiel. But most of the artists who come to us either hate doing it or don't know how to do it or don't want to do it. So, Brian, you said, you jump from architect to maker and made a living. That is pretty unusual these days. You want to tell us how you did that?
Not easily. No, I mean, and this is the conversation I have with a lot of our incoming students. Again, a lot of them are, quote, non-traditional. They came from some other background. And I think we're pretty upfront saying it's a hard way to make a living. But most people come to this not because they're in it for major financial gains, because something they've always loved and that's an itch they've always wanted to scratch. And so we try within the confines of what we can do in a couple of years to expose them to as much as we can, taking them, talking with graduates, having graduates come in and talk to them, this dedicated marketing class and a business or social media marketing class, and letting them do shows and just trying to expose them all to the nitty-gritty. None of them seem to be terribly enthusiastic about that part of it. And I don't think most of the craftspeople I know who are making a living, you know, look forward to April 15 or things like that. But that's part of it. Not everybody who comes here is making a living at different reasons, but we try to do the best we can to give them the tools.
One of the things, the feedback that I hear from our various artists is, you know, I want to be successful. I don't have enough money to hire people to market for us. Ken Katara, who is an exceptional artist in this area and known all over the world, he actually does one of the educational classes. He's also been an educator at UNCA, Mars Hill, and other places. And he gives a very specific half-day workshop that starts our group off on how to market. And it really, it's very basic, right down to typefaces to use and not use. I mean, things like that. But Amy, you have been able to balance all this somehow. Incredible, unusual textile work. And how long have you been teaching at Haywood?
Brian and I both came on as full-time faculty in 2008. So we're in our 16th academic year.
And apparently, like you said, the staff stays. That's not
That's
happening
right.
every place.
Yeah.
So talk to me about how you integrate some of these business skills with your artists. Your students first, but then how have you personally integrated all this into your practice?
Well,
it takes balance.
Yes, I consider myself to have either at least one and a half jobs, possibly even two jobs. One job is my full-time faculty position at Haywood, to which I am extremely dedicated. And then my other job is a studio artist with my own personal practice. And I work out of my home. There's definitely a limit to what I can produce because of my other full-time job. But I have been able to maintain gallery representation, strong gallery representation with Blue Spiral, for example, since 2016, producing some, I'm going to say around 20 to 30 pieces per year. Those all go out to Penland Gallery, is of course a nonprofit gallery that I'm exhibiting at as well. So yes, it is a lot of work. I would say that is, I have personally always been extremely dedicated to work in general. Work has always been my number one priority. Maybe it has to do with, you know, with my growing up, my heritage or something, but the work ethic is very strong. So it's always been the number one most important thing.
Well, it shows your pieces are large. And also, I think what's interesting is I have a hard time jumping from being very active and out there and, you know, the marketing business side of things, being involved in the community work, to the quiet of what you do, weaving, sewing. And maybe that provides some relief as well.
Absolutely. My home studio is like a respite. You know, school and students require a lot of energy for me. And I do find it not depleting, but, it takes a lot out of me. So to escape back to my home studio where it is, you know, very quiet and very inward facing actually provides an excellent balance.
And I've seen that and kind of envy you that because it's nice to have that. I'm spread a little bit more thin and have that dedicated space. And what's a lovely place to work on that is pretty great.
Brian, what do you see as the future of craft in America?
Ooh, that's a big one. Now, we've been wrestling. I love wrestling with that, but it's hard to know. I mean, the conversations I've had the last few years with people are always fascinating because there's always something that we're afraid of, whether it is the maker movement or maybe it's AI now. And I think it's got a strong future because It's not for everybody, but I've always found that whenever we're worried about something, there's a core group of people in our society who really love craft, whether it's collecting it, buying it, whether it's just surrounding themselves with it, or whether it's making it. I believe there's always going to be that core group, whether it's 10, 15% of the population. And because there's just, we all find some value in that. And we kind of reach out to those as students. We kind of direct our students to them. And I think it's got a pretty strong future.
Do you agree with that, Amy?
I would agree. And I feel like the news is good. Over the years, we have watched our students in the craft marketing course, for example, studying or doing industry analysis. So essentially studying business models across the board, competitors, et cetera. And I feel like what we've learned as a result of their research is that there is a growing appreciation for the type of work that we make and that our students make, meaning, for example, like the slow fashion movement. Objects that are more well-made with more integrity and soul than our mass production objects. So we have seen evidence that the market is growing, you know, ever so slowly, but it is growing. So the audience is becoming more appreciative of what we do.
Can you give me an example of a student who exemplifies what you're talking about?
Well, one student comes to mind. Her name is Audrey Lane Sawyer, and she graduated from the jewelry program a few years ago. Her husband graduated from the wood program. And today, she has what I take to be a very successful jewelry business. She is a member of the Southern Highlands Craft Guild and sells and markets through their shows and their shops. And she also collaborates with her husband on wood and metal pieces for the home. Audrey has been self-employed with this endeavor for years now. So they own a beautiful home out in Haywood County. So those are signs to me that she is having success. She's making it.
We have a graduate from your programs. She's in metal, Tiffany Payne, who grew up in the Blue Ridge and has exceptional talent in how it's translated into her jewelry. It's non-traditional in many, many ways. And we love having her, but that's an example of someone who started, took the 2 years, took the time, and now she's with us wanting to learn more about marketing. And also significant changes in how our artists sell now. Because where you have gallery representation, a lot of people now are turning to digital sales and actually don't even want gallery representation. So it's a whole new ball game.
It's funny, when we started out, we would start talking to them about having a website and the beginnings of social media. We've been doing this for 15, 16 years now. And it's kind of funny. So many of them now outstrip us in the knowledge of social media marketing. We still have some core marketing things that tricks that we know that they may not know, but they are amazing at how entrepreneurial folks are these days in terms of craft.
I'll leave with a funny story. I always go to the Penland auction, and I use it as an opportunity to see old friends, see new art, craft, all of that. Well, last August, because Artsville is moving so fast, and I wanted to include a lot of names for our subscriber base and to talk to people about what we were doing, because we just went from being a self-funded organization to a nonprofit organization. So I was getting feedback and doing all of that. When I came home, I had a list of probably 30 to 40 people that I had spoken to or about that I felt like I wanted to talk to them, catch up. I asked all of them for their card. These are artists, these are donors, these are educators, and I came home with 3 business cards.
I've been guilty of that myself. I have to admit.
You blushing.
Well, but then okay. We've also, like, some of the students are like, oh, I don't need a card. And there's still a place in the world for things like that. And that's what in some ways, marketing is like making sure you've got every single verse covered, which includes cards.
Well, I thank you all both for coming. This has been a really interesting conversation. And you are exactly what we want to talk to our artists and our audiences about. So I really appreciate this. And there'll be more. So for any of you who like this, this podcast will be posted sometime in the next few months, not immediately, at artsvilleusa.com. But also there'll be a story about both of you that emanates out of what we discussed today. And so we encourage you to make sure you watch for it, you share, you subscribe, and that you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and all of that. You're part of our community, which is over 10,000 people all over the world. So we look forward to that. Also, we have some special partners that we want to thank. First and foremost are our studio partners and our parent company and nonprofit, Arterial Inc., which is based in Los Angeles, and their take on Artsville is called Not Real Art. So you can go to notrealart.com and you will see what we do on steroids and also with a sort of a younger, hipper, maybe more contemporary market where ours is more informational, I would say, but still a lot of fun. I hope you had fun today. Our partner with Art Connections is Sherry Masters, arts insider and entrepreneur and wonderful tour host, guide, director. Mountain BizWorks with Crafter Commerce, who provides our artists each year with their own portfolio of class videos of about 2 hours each. So it's very strong on content. We work with the Ferguson Family YMCA in Candler. That is where our home is, and we are trying to promote more art, artists, galleries to come out in that area. Ken Katara Studio. Ken is a wonderful educator and artist. Look him up. You'll be fascinated by his work. Wendy Newman, photographer and fashion designer, just taught a workshop for us that was amazing. So many of you out there. And we want you to meet us and our community around the world. We want you to tag, share, like us on Instagram and Facebook. And we invite any questions, contact, anytime you'd like to get in touch with us. But thanks for joining us today, and we'll be back next month.
Thank you, Louise.
Thanks for listening to the Artsville Podcast. Please be sure to like this episode, write a review, and share it with your friends on social. Also, remember to subscribe so you get all of our new episodes. Artsville is produced by Crew West Studio in Los Angeles. Artsville is property of Arterial Incorporated, a 501c3 nonprofit arts organization on a mission to amplify art and artists in the world. Our theme music was created by Dan Ubick and his team at Dan Ube Productions. Artsville is recorded at Echo Mountain Recording, edited by We Edit Podcasts, and hosted by Captivate. Thanks again for listening to Artsville. We'll be back soon with another inspiring episode celebrating American contemporary arts and crafts from Asheville and beyond.
Artsville, Artsville, the happening town where art abounds. Artsville, Artsville, from Asheville town where art abounds. Artsville, Artsville, feeling mountain high and inspiring North Carolina. That's where you'll find us, amazing artists and designers.